Welcome to another message of hope from Gateway Family Church. For more information or to contact us, please visit gateway.asn.au.
So over the next couple of weeks, we just want to fill you with good stuff that comes from Scripture about kids. You know, I had the joy yesterday of taking my two grandchildren to my mum. Now, she's 88 now, so there were four generations of us in the room, and trying to get at one good photograph with one 88-year-old, a 7-month-old and an 11-month-old. You try it and see how you cope. It was a challenge. But, you know, I was just reminded again how precious the generations are. And, it reminded me how my grandmother passed on her love of Christ to my mum. And my mum passed that love to me. And I pass that on to my kids, and I'm watching my kids pass that on to their children. And it is such a precious, precious thing. But the journey of parenting, the journey of looking after kids and helping them to thrive, is a difficult one. And anyone who has a family knows that. So we're going to talk about resilience today, but I want to ask you a question just to get your head in the right headspace. Can you think of a time in your life where something tough, something really tough happened to you? And I'm sure all of you have got something in mind. But my question is, how did you cope with that? How did you get up and keep going? That's one of the essential questions about resilience. So just to have a conversation about that, I want to invite up somebody who is very precious to us, and this is Sally Jones. So, Sally, come and join us. I'm going to bring these back a little bit so our backs are not to these good people on the side. But Sally is our children's pastor. She's also a trained... Just take it a little bit further back. Thank you. Thank you, lighting guys. Hope we're not mucking you around. She's also a trained primary teacher, mum of two children that have survived and are getting on with life really well. And so, Sal, we want to talk a little bit about resilience. Can you perhaps tell us what is resilience?
Sure. So resilience really is the ability to manage life's challenges in a mentally and emotionally healthy way. So, resilience helps us to cope when, you know, things happen that might not be so great and to bounce back. And can I tell you what it's not?
Yeah, what is it not?
Because I've heard this thrown around a little bit. So resilience is not being told to toughen up or drink some concrete. I think that's fairly dismissive approach, and not that
helpful. Has anyone's parent ever told them to drink concrete?
Wouldn't be very tasty. My own child.
son of David Beer. That makes sense, right? I read this definition, Sal. It said, resilience is the human heart's ability to suffer and grow from it.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's to refuse to give up on the world or yourself despite the pain that you go through.
Yeah, that's
pretty
good.
Powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So let's try and be concrete about this without drinking it. And that is, what does resilience look like in the different ages of kids? So what about a kindy kid?
Kindy kids, can I just quickly preface it by saying that, resilience really is shaped not, in partnership by their genetics or an individual's characteristics, as well as by their environment. So these are fairly generalised statements. But in a kindy kid, it might look like, being easily distracted onto another toy or another game if a toy is taken from them. And they're willing to try new things.
And in the primary age, a resilient child is one that can cope if they lose a game. They can actually celebrate the successes of others in their world. They're learning to manage their emotions and be able to express what they need and to cooperate with others. And kids who know that friendships have ups and downs, highs and lows. So, if they fall... if they have a bit of an argument with in their friendship group, then, you know, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. And with a teenager, by that age, kids are usually able to have a good understanding of their self, so they might, you know, understand that I'm not that great, or that's a weakness in this area, but I'm good at this. They've got a really good understanding of self. And I think they have a delayed sense of gratification. They understand they can't have everything now. Yeah.
Who hasn't grown up yet? Yep. I'll put myself in that one. We seem to hear a lot about resilience at the moment. It's a hot topic.
It's a hot topic.
Why is that?
To give you a few stats, it is a hot topic. So at the moment, they're saying that 1 in 7 primary age kids at the moment actually suffer from some sort of mental ill health. So that's pretty high numbers. And then in adolescence, it's 1 in every 4. So that's amazing. And anxiety is being indicated as the most prevalent of those mental ill health. So obviously that's affecting our kids in schools particularly. And, you know, lots of teachers and educators are reporting that anxiety has actually reached epidemic proportions in their classrooms.
So why now, Sal? Why didn't my parents' generation have the same issues?
I think, you know, there's so many different reasons, but in a nutshell, or to name the most obvious one, kids are, their world today is so different from our world. It's a lot more complex than the world we grew up in. They're actually saying that kids receive the same amount of information at the moment in a day that we used to in a year. So that's a lot to process.
Yeah, and look, we won't talk about it today, but I think Rick's going to touch on it next week. Yeah. But the whole issue of screens is huge.
Massive.
So if you think we're ignoring that, we're not. Mm. We'll get to that next week because it's a big topic. Good. Is there hope, sir?
I've painted a bleak picture. Yeah. There is hope. I think we just need to be more intentional these days with teaching kids the tools and the skills they need to build resilience. And I think the main thing is making sure we're validating their emotions, not just ignoring them. We're validating their emotions, giving them lots of encouragement. They say that, you know, for every correction, we should be giving 3 encouragements at least. And just giving them opportunities to succeed.
I'd like to sort of unpack that a bit. When it comes to encouragement, you know, it's very easy for us to just say to our kids, oh, you're awesome, you're awesome, you're awesome. And the kids will be going, no, I'm not, Mum.
Yeah.
You know I'm not awesome. So one of the things I found with my kids is that I had to learn to be specific in
That's
my encouragement.
Yeah. To give an example, you know, with our kids, hands up if you have children and your kids are completely different to each other. Look at that. So we have one child, our eldest, who is a creative thinker. She thinks very, creatively. And our other child is a very logical thinker. So, I think every kid is good at something, and it's really a matter of finding what they're good at and giving them opportunities to shine. So with our creative thinker, we found when she was young, in about grade 3, a sewing class. So she did that right up until year 9. We encouraged her in that. And Daniel was great at maths, so, you know, we encouraged him in that. And I think just to mention, when they get into teenage years, often kids struggle with friendships in those years. You know, school can be a tough place sometimes. And so we found with our kids that youth gave them an opportunity to succeed in their friendships with others, because they could have a horrible day at school or things not going so well, but they could come on a Friday night to youth, and this was a safe place for them to be, where they knew that, you know, they were loved and genuinely accepted.
I think psychologist Michael Carr-Gregg talks about circles of influence in our kids' lives, and the family is one. School will be another, and then there'll be, well, for our kids, it's church. For some kids, it'll be a sporting club. But if they can, if one or the other of those goes south, if one at least is strong, they'll get through it.
That's right.
But if all 3 of them go south, that's when kids are really in trouble. And I know my own daughter, she's 31 now, but she went through a lot of bullying. Mm. And she says the same thing. It was being able to come to the church environment and youth that really, you know, helped her to get through that. Yeah. And you know, we're talking about specific encouragement. For a small child, it might just be noticing when they, you know, they share a toy nicely and saying, oh, that was really good sharing. And and for my son, I had to watch carefully for when he did something right. We would go weeks. No, he wasn't that
bad. Is he going to be listening to this, Mars?
He wasn't that bad. Even when you hear somebody, your child, speaking well of somebody else or being honourable or generous and just finding those things and encouraging them.
Absolutely.
Not just you're awesome.
Specific.
Yeah. We were talking a little bit about encouraging kids to succeed at something.
Yeah.
One thing I've been reading a bit about is the way that our brains are wired, and our brains are amazing things. They're very plastic. They call it neuroplasticity. And when our children are young, their brains are much more able to be moved and moulded than they are. We get a bit more concrete in the brain as we get older. So one thing I used to say to my kids, both of them learnt piano. Now, learning an instrument is not an easy thing to do. And it would have been very easy for them to just try, you know, the first couple of times and then give up.
Yeah.
But I used to say to them, okay, I want you to imagine this. Imagine you're walking into a field and it's got a whole lot of weeds growing in it. Now, every time you practice that piece on the piano, you pull out a few weeds. You practice it again, you pull out a few more weeds. Practice it again, you pull out more weeds. Eventually, you pull those weeds out and that messy field, you see a path through it. And that path will you be playing that piece of music beautifully. And what it did is it gave them like a visual image. If they were struggling with something, they didn't immediately say, oh, I suck, I'm not smart, I can't do it. They said, okay, there's a lot of weeds there that I need to pull out. And visually it helped them to at least get on with their piano, which pleased me enormously.
I think I needed that mask when I was trying piano.
What are some of the common mistakes that parents make?
There's a couple I'll mention, Mars. I don't know if these are the most common, but they're definitely the ones that I made and that I struggled with. And the first one is that I really feel I, too many times, Mars, allowed fear to dictate my choices and decisions. I've talked about the kids with this, so this doesn't surprise them. They do know. I think it's not uncommon for parents to bring to their parenting some of their own past experiences. And for me in my childhood, I had a bit of a confusing childhood. And there were some situations or circumstances I didn't always feel safe. So safety was a huge thing for me, and I brought that into, you know, my
parenting. Were you the original helicopter parent?
I was. I did have a bit of a reputation for that. I think I felt, you know, if I could have a bit more control over situations and put that protective bubble around my kids, then it helped me feel safe.
You've come a long way. What did you learn along the way?
Yeah. I have come a long way. I think it's still my default, but, you know, I'm definitely getting there. And what I've learned is that if we constantly base our decisions and our choices as parents on the what-ifs, what if they might get hurt, what if they mess up, you know, what if they're tired or whatever, then we really rob our kids of that sense of curiosity and adventure.
All right, I want you to stop there because they're two beautiful words.
Yeah.
Curiosity, adventure. That's what we want to bring alive, or actually they've already got it, haven't they? We don't want to squash it. Maybe that's
right.
A better
we
way
don't
of
want
saying
to stunt
it.
That because that's really important.
That's really great.
Yeah.
And you talk about, you know, you've got to allow your kids to take risks, but of course every parent knows there are risks and there are risks.
That's right. There's wise risks. Yeah. And there's unwise risks, and we really want our kids to understand the difference, particularly by the time they reach those teenage years. So,
what's an example for you of a wise, of, you know, where you had to take a wise risk?
Wise risk. A wise risk for our kids was allowing them to go to Camp No Fear. I mean, it says it in the name, doesn't it? Camp No Fear.
That's our church youth camp we run in January, and it's pretty wild. Yeah,
it is wild. I think an embarrassing story, when our youngest was first going to Camp No Fear, I can remember, you know, getting alongside one of the youth leaders and saying, you know, what time would they be going to bed? Because, you know, they might get tired, they might hurt, you know, or whatever. What's said in the room stays in the room, okay?
Our youth leaders hate parents like you. You know that, don't you?
But, you know, I'm glad we did send them, because that was a wise risk that has been really central and key to their faith and their journey with God.
Yeah, yeah. I've got our granddaughter's living with us at the moment. She's 11 months. And you see, it sort of starts of, you know, when they're standing up at the coffee table, do you take your hands off or not? You know, that's sort of the first little risk you take. And then before you know it, they're 16 and it's a risk. Yeah, do we allow them to go to this party or not? You know, it happens very quickly that we have to make those decisions.
Too quickly.
Yeah. What are some other common mistakes?
The other common mistake for me anyway was I felt that my job as a parent was to shield my kids from pain, and that I was responsible for their emotions. Hands up again if you are a parent and you've ever said or at least thought that if you mess with my kids, you mess with me. Did I sound scary then? Yeah. Yes. I think my inner lioness was particularly strong. But I think what I've learnt in that, and I'm still learning, is that our kids need to feel a little bit of pain and a little bit of discomfort in order to learn how to manage their emotions. And I think if we're continually trying to fix things for them and smooth the road, then that might be a short-term fix, because it might, you know, mean that I don't have to feel discomfort of their emotions, but we're not teaching them anything, Mars. Yeah.
And, you know, this might sound strange, but we are always on our kids' side.
Yeah.
But they are not always right.
That's right.
And, you know, we've had situations in schooling years where, you know, you want to run up to the teacher and say, why is this happening to my child?
Yeah.
But then when you stop and ask them questions, you find out that actually they are doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So it's really important that your mind is open to the fact that your child is not perfect. Did you know that?
Surprise. Yeah.
And by allowing them to feel the consequences of their behaviour, that is being on their side.
That's right, yeah, because I think it's teaching them, responsibility for their emotions, and it's allowing them to bump up against their own limitations. I think that's really important. And then in that they might have an emotional response when they're bumping up against disappointment or whatever, but I think the important thing, again, is to validate their emotions, name them. You know, it's really powerful for a kid to name their emotions. I'm feeling angry or I'm feeling upset. But then giving them the opportunity to problem solve with you. So for a little kid, it might be giving them a few limited choices. You know, you can wear this, this or this or whatever it might look like. And for older kids, it's starting to ask more questions. How can I help?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. I wish I had the wisdom when my kids were growing up to realise that when they go through painful things, that this can be the best learning time for them. Mm. It's not that you're clapping hands with glee when your kids are upset. But if you have a godly perspective on it, you can see that God can take those pressing and those crushing times.
I love that song.
The new wine song we sing at the moment, in the crushing and the pressing, he's making new wine out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, mistakes can be life's greatest teacher.
And you think that one of the issues with parents these days is because we tend to make kids the centre of our universe?
Yeah, and I think that's a hard one, Mars, because obviously when you're a parent and you're at home with your kids, it's 24/7 when they're little. So I think it's very easy for parents to fall into that trap of believing that we have to be everything for our child and that they always have to come before us. And I don't think that's true and probably not necessarily healthy.
It's not healthy for them.
No.
It's, you know, within the society, you know, the parents groups that I moved in, it was always, if you ask what is the centre of your world, they would say it's my children.
My children, yeah.
Whereas if I ask you, Sally, what is the centre of your world?
Yeah, my centre of my world is my relationship with God, because I know I couldn't be a parent without it. Yeah. You know, I couldn't have the courage and the bravery that I need as a parent if I wasn't relying on God. And also relying on my village. You know, I mentioned my struggles earlier. If I hadn't had, you know, the village to speak into my world and to challenge me on things that I found difficult as a parent, then I don't think my kids would be where they are at the moment. So yeah. I think the village, you know, you guys, grandparents, mentors, the kids leader, youth leaders, you know, that, you know, those kind of people have the opportunity to stand in the gap for us, you know, for parents. I think that's really powerful.
I always love what Sinjin always says when we talk to him about his position as youth pastor.
Yeah.
What's your favourite saying, Sinj?
Every kid
needs a champion.
Yeah. Yeah, so true.
And we certainly see that in our youth and in our God's own ministry, that they're championing these kids. And as parents, we need help because we can't do it on our own.
Yeah, and I'm eternally grateful for the Singers and the others. Yeah.
Sal, that was really valuable. Thank you so much for sharing with us. We want to cap this off with Sally Ansell is going to come up. She's got some really valuable insights that she wanted to share as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Sal, that was fantastic. Marcy, awesome. Some valuable insights for mums and also for youth leaders or for spiritual mums, those of you who care for others and influence others. Sal, I know your heart is too that it's you and Trev. You know, Trev and you are important in your relationship, in your marriage. If that sort of goes adrift, then it's harder to parent and makes it more complicated. So I know that you and Trevor work as a team. So I encourage you both in that journey. It's been interesting watching you on that journey. It's my, I guess, delight to just talk about God's role in our parenting of our children. You know, if you think of our Heavenly God as our dad and as our creator, how do you think he perhaps views us as his kids? You know, I think it's totally different to how we perhaps view us as his kids. As a counsellor, I often ask people, what do you think God thinks of you? And you can see them squirming and, you know, it's usually they're thinking of all the things that they've done wrong or stuffed up with, or the things that they're struggling within themselves, about themselves. But, you know, the beauty of God is that he values us. He created us to function in a relationship of intimacy with him, to be in unison with his values and his character. And I just love that he just continually draws us to him. He made us in his image. He made us to not be gods, but to reflect him, to make choices like he does, to be creative like he is, to be in relationship. He made us also as spiritual beings, and sometimes we neglect that side of who we are because he desires to spend eternity with him. You know, I could go on and on and on as to the importance of how God values us. And I think we don't think about that enough, because if we did, all would be well with our soul. But I particularly want to talk to mums this morning. You know, fortunately, over the centuries, it hasn't mattered how much we have behaved poorly, that God still loves us. You know, if you think back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, the first mum, she acted pretty poorly because she stepped out of obeying God and doing what was right. And so, you know, but God stepped into that moment And he was still for them, not against them. He had a plan B. And so he put into operation that plan B. Plan A was that we would just always be in relationship with God. We would be obedient to him. We would ignore the enemy's temptation and always follow God. But that didn't happen. And you know what? If it hadn't have been Eve, it would have been me. I would have done the wrong thing. I would have said to Mark, "This apple's great, babe. Have a bite." So it's important not to see our kids only through their behaviour, because if God looked at us as adults and parents through our behaviour, it would have gone south a long time ago, I'm sure. You know, it's our roles as parents to champion our kids. Yeah, youth leaders can do that and church environment can do that, but you know, it's our role. We brought these children into the world. We know them most intimately. We have walked with them since they were little tiny bubs. Well, since before they were little tiny bubs. It's our role as parents to always see the best in our children. And that doesn't mean to ignore their misbehaviour or to just not give them consequences. I don't mean that. But it's never giving up on your child. And it's seeing your kids for who you know them to be. But sometimes we allow their behaviour to distract us, don't we? And sometimes we forget who it is that perhaps God created our kids to be. It's more about, well, this is how I want them to be. This is how I need them to be, rather than praying into who God has created them to be. And you know, if we don't champion our kids, let's face it, who's going to? You know, if we don't continue to speak words of life and encouragement and hope into our kids, then we're failing them. So many times I've heard kids, parents, particularly in shopping centres, just speak words of condemnation over their children. And I think that's going into their hearts and their souls. And so it's so important for us to be speaking words of life and hope and encouragement and raising our children to be who we know them to be. So what happens when our child does constantly stuff up and we feel that, you know, perhaps are they ever going to get through this season of their life? You know, it is important to teach them consequences and boundaries. And I encourage you as parents, when you're parenting, out of that time or season of frustration and tiredness and a sense of being disrespected, then it's important for you to turn to the Holy Spirit. You know, so many times I've looked to God for guidance and perspective with my children. It's like, all I can see. And, you know, one of my daughters is sitting here, so she has turned out a wonderful girl. So. But, you know, I had three children and it hasn't always been easy. And so when there were times and season when perhaps people were hurting them and it caused them to go in a spiral or they were making dumb choices, I had to continue to look at the future, not at where they are right now. And I had to believe in who I knew them to be. As a parent, it's important to be responsive and not go out of control and be reactive yourself. It's good to press pause on ourselves and to run a personal viral soul check to understand what is perhaps triggering our reaction. Let me say that again. It's important to press pause on ourselves and to run a personal viral soul check to understand, well, what's happening in my heart for me to be so angst and so fearful about what's going to happen to my child? You, me and we are God's kids, and we always need to remember that. But we don't always shine either. But God has a healthy perspective on us, and he knows his value of us, and he's always trying to speak life and hope into us as adults. So the importance of praying truth and life into our children is one of the strongest weapons we have as parents in raising resilient children, no matter how old they are. You know, the reality is the Bible tells us there's a lion. The enemy is like a lion roaring and prowling around, ready to speak lies of condemnation and negativity over not just us, but our kids as well. But you know what? God has given us the weapons of his word and his truth, and he has sows hope into our lives. So it's important to remember that we can speak those truths over our children and then leave it with God. We don't have to make our kids' lives work. Okay? We don't have to make our kids' lives work. I often take great delight in thinking or being reminded, you know what, God, you have given me my children to love, to always love, to always cheer, to always care for. But you created them. They're actually your problem, not mine. You know, I'm here physically to do what I can, but ultimately, Father God, I need to hold them out and give them back to you and entrust them to you and know that you have the best heart ever. Sometimes parents just get to that point of just feeling, I don't know what to do with this kid that keeps throwing a tantrum. Tree shared a little bit about that last week, about one of hers saying, I don't want to go to 9 a.m. I just thought that was a classic. And, you know, then as adults or teenagers, they make dumb choices, or other people make dumb choices towards our kids, and it's painful. And when this keeps happening, it damages our soul as a parent. I had one parent come to me a few weeks ago and just said, I just don't know what to do anymore, Sol. I'm just over this, because her son was just going through a really hard time. And so I was able to speak and pray over her and speak words of encouragement and hope and truth and just nudge her back on to perspective, because she's a real fighter and she's a warrior and a real woman of God. But she just felt overwhelmed. And, you know, God has done that to us. God has spoken into our lives, so we need to push that into our children and into those that we influence. Mother's Day is particularly difficult for some of us in the room, and I understand that. I lost my son 9 years ago. He passed away. So Mother's Day is always hard for me. And it's a miracle that I can get up and talk about it. Because 9 years ago, I didn't think I'd ever get off the couch again, because I thought my life was over. But I had two beautiful girls. I had a granddaughter. I had a husband. I had a big God. I had a church family who loved me and who cared for me. I had a lot to live for. And so God just spoke that peace and that comfort and those truths into me, to give me life, a will for life again. And I've had to recalibrate that and work that through. But if I didn't have this community, this safe place, who just loved on me and cared for me, if I didn't have family to just remind me who I was in God, if I didn't have a big God that I could cling to his promises, and believe me, some days I just clung, and that was all I had to be able to operate in. So it's important to remember God's word and his truth. On the back of your outline today, we've given you some of those verses that you can speak over your children and pray into your children, and even give your children to pray in for themselves. Decades ago, and I can say that now because Rick and I are older, decades ago, Rick did a message and he spoke about BIPO, B-I-P-O, and it's on your outline, and it's But I Press On. You know, and the importance of this, that we persevere. And the verse from Philippians 3 is, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. You know, sometimes we just look in the presence, but it's important to look up and look at God and grab hold of his promises and move on. Bippo, simple thing to remember, but I press on. Kids need to learn how to fight. They need to learn how not to repay bad with good, or not to repay bad with, yeah, that's right, with good. Don't repay bad with good. Yeah, that's right. Oh, do repay. Yeah, that's why I'm thinking. Yeah, I know, but it says here, repay bad with good. Yes, that's right. Oh my gosh, seriously. I'm having an Alzheimer's moment, sorry. Never let evil defeat you, but defeat evil with good. And we've just done a mercy series just talking about that whole issue of giving mercy and forgiving and caring for others. Kids can develop the strength to persevere, not down, but we get up. Though we experience every kind of pressure, we're not crushed. At times we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option. We are persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. We may be knocked down, but not out. You know, sometimes seasons seem to go on and on and on. During my grieving season, it was like I was in a quagmire, that I was never going to get out of it. But you know what I learned? That the sun rises the next day. The sun does shine again. And so it's good to remember and to remind our kids, you know, it might be struggling today. Year 12 might be a pain in the butt, but there is another year. There's another sunrise. You can get through it. The last one on your outline there is kids can learn that hard times can be good for them. And, you know, I really struggle with this verse, because none of us love to say, bring it on, bring on the hard times. But the reality is, tough times can grow our character. I often say to God, God, just grow me through goodness and love and easy times. But you know what Romans 5 tells us? Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance, and patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know, the reason I could pray for that woman a few weeks ago is because I knew and understood her pain. I've walked that journey. I saw her pain. My experience was totally different to hers, but I could relate to it. I could connect to it. But if I hadn't walked that, I would have just been praying for it. Now, that would have still been important and good to do, but not with the same conviction that, you know, you can get through this, you will get through this. And because in my head I was saying, I got through this. Wasn't a great outcome, but Jesus was still there for me, no matter what the outcome. And sometimes we pray into needing God to give us the outcome I want, rather than trusting him with the outcome. Sometimes when we're in that place of struggle with our kids, it's hard to see, like Marcy said, some weeks it's hard to see the good in them. But there's always something that we can find in our children. And just remember, who do I know this child to be? How can I speak God's wisdom and life into them? Words of courage or encouragement speaks courage into their souls and into their spirit. I'm going to pray for mums in a minute, but before I do that, I want to encourage one young mum. Carissa Haynes. motherhood hasn't been how you thought it would be. But you have continued on being a gracious, patient, caring, evolving mum. You have seen the best in your kids and you have believed in them and you have helped them believe in themselves in a way that I think, oh my gosh, I don't know how she does that. Every morning you wake up, you're not really sure what you're going to be faced with and how perhaps you're going to manage that other than having coffee and maybe a wine at the end of the day. But I know that you walk with your heavenly God with that. And I want to encourage you, don't parent in fear, but with that sense of fun and adventure. Your children are a blessing, and I know you know that. And they have amazing gifts and abilities beyond even what you can see at the moment. And I'm going to ask that God gives you a picture into their future, one of hope and one of independence. And I know that it's hard for you to see that at the moment, but I know that God sees your kids and he has them. And so I just want to pray that courage over you. Continue on being the godly mum that you are, and it will be worth far more than gold in the future. So I've got a little present for you that Jean-Claude's going to run up to you just next to Cherie. And I want you, when it gets tough, to light this little candle and remember the words that have been spoken over you today and who God is. And other mums, I want you to take on that same, what's just been spoken. So mums, how about standing? And you know, I'm aware that being a mum has its challenges and its joys. It never ever turns out how we think it's going to turn out, does it? But you know, you're amazing women. And God sees you and knows you. Father God, I just pray over these women. I thank you for who they are. I thank you for all of our mums. And Lord, I pray that you would protect those who are grieving their mums at the moment. They may have a broken relationship or they may have lost their mum and not had her around to celebrate with. Lord, I pray that you would give them your peace and touch them with a sense of your mother's heart, your presence, Father God. And Lord, I pray courage over these women. I pray blessing over them. I pray wisdom over them, Father God. And Lord, those women in the house who have perhaps lost love, precious loved children, Lord, I pray that you would bring hope to them. And Lord, that they would know that even though you don't understand why that happened and they wrestle with that, Lord, I pray that you would give them the wisdom to just leave it at the foot of your cross and continue to trust you. So, Lord, I pray a blessing on mums today. I pray for a really fun, lovely day for them. And, Lord, I pray for the future mums in this house. I pray for the spiritual mums in this house that care for many kids that maybe aren't theirs, but they're loving on them anyway. And, Lord, I just pray that you would continue to equip them with all that they need to do that. I ask that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Gateway Family Church. We hope you join us again for another great message next week. For more information or to contact us, head to gateway.asn.au.